The Montreal Canadiens have let their coach go, Michel Therrien, and have hired Claude Julien again. Second time this exact scenario has played out for this organization. Our next guest, probably not too surprised, because just a couple of days ago, he wrote an article on Sportsnet.ca, Therrien on borrowed time as Canadiens stumble into the bye week. We're joined by Eric Engels from Sportsnet down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Emma, is it a safe assumption, Eric, you're not surprised by the news today?
Yeah, I'm Nostradamus. No, I was a little bit caught off guard, no question about it. I'm actually in Las Vegas. I was on a golf course, and I got a call from my great editor, Mike Cormack, who said they fired him. And I was certainly taken aback when I heard that news. Anyways, you said it's the biggest news of the week. Just wait for tomorrow.
Why is that?
I'm just kidding, but there's a possibility.
No, you're on to something. I'm going to hold you to that now. What do you know?
I'm just kidding around. I'm just joking around. But there is a possibility, yeah. Obviously. In fact, the probability, sure. I would suggest, that this isn't where it ends for the Canadians. I think, you know, what this move signifies is just how committed Marc Bergevin is to this season and to where the Canadians are in their window to win. And knowing that they'll be coming out of the bye week with fresh legs and a very healthy roster for the first time virtually all season, he's got work to do between now and March 1st to ensure they have the best chance possible to contend. So my radar's up. I think everybody's radar should be up at this point. We're going to hear from Bergevin tomorrow. We're going to hear from Claude Julien tomorrow. And then we'll see what happens over the couple of days that the Canadians continue to be off. Their first practice will be Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. They're going to play against the Winnipeg Jets at 2 p.m. on Saturday. And there's no doubt in my mind that between now and March 1st, Marc Bergevin is going to pull the trigger on a trade or two, whether it means moving a couple of bodies out of town to bring in a couple of bodies or bring in a couple of bodies with some future assets. This is the year for him to make those swings. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about how the Canadians have played over the last month, they know they're better than this. And if they didn't know that, I don't think they would have made the move they did today.
Eric, I'll come back to the what might happen between now and March 1st in a second, but I just want to come back to this decision. And these questions are fairly routine and fairly basic, but I think they need to be asked. What was wrong with Therrien coaching this team? What wasn't working that, you know, made them make this decision?
You know, if I'm going to look for one key indication here, I look at the way the Canadians played when they finally got healthy over the last 2 weeks, I would say. You know, as Galchenyuk got back into the lineup, Gallagher was still out up until the last game in Boston on Sunday. But other than that, they had a healthy roster for the first time in a very long time. And if there was one thing that I saw in their game, it's that they were in close games. They were in those games, like a Saturday game against St. Louis. And going back, actually, to Super Bowl weekend where they played the Edmonton Oilers, so much of the focus was on containing McDavid and containing the speed of the Oilers that the Canadians weren't dictating the game. They were not dictating with the pace that we know that they can play at. They're one of the fastest teams in the league, and that speed has not been on display in a dictating manner over the last couple of weeks. And I thought that was a really clear sign that something was off. And when you hear the goaltender, who is the franchise here, Carey Price, say something like, "We've seemed to have lost our identity over the last couple of weeks and we need to reset," that's telling. That's a telling thing to say. So I think, you know, if I'm going to point to one thing and really read into the comments by Price, or at least add context to them, it has to do with the way the Canadians were playing the game. And whether or not that was the direction that Michel Therrien was giving off, I don't really think it matters. It's all a question of what the execution is on the ice, and the execution was not there.
Eric Engels from Sportsnet, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. About 11 months ago, Michel Therrien was kind of in the spotlight. Would he stay? Would he go? There was the, you know, I believe, kind of a little bit of a issue with P.K. Subban in a game in Colorado. A lot of consternation, at least outside of Montreal, I'm assuming in Montreal, whether he should, you know, he was going to make a change, Bergevin. Are they related? Did, you know, he showed faith by keeping him. Should they have made this move earlier?
It's tough to say. I think a lot of fans in Montreal would have liked to have seen it made earlier. I think they would have liked to have seen it made last year, but it's a good thing that fans don't run teams. To see the way the Canadiens rebounded this year before the injuries hit, and they suffered more key injuries or more injuries to key players than any other team in the league between November and January, I thought Therrien was doing a pretty good job. That said, when you hear a comment from Marc Bergevin saying that the team needs a new energy, a new voice, a new direction, it's pretty clear that things have gotten stale there. And you go back to last year, he had a built-in excuse. And Marc Bergevin made a difficult but bold decision to keep Therrien in place because he truly didn't believe that it was on him. And his decisions, every decision that Bergevin made between that point of securing Therrien's job and the end of the offseason, from trading P.K. Subban for Shea Weber, from bringing in Andrew Shaw and Alexander Radulov, to trading Lars Eller and bringing in a rookie in Arturi Lehkonen, these were all decisions that seemed to indicate he felt it was on himself and on the players to improve the team, and that the coach was doing a job and coaching a system that was conducive to winning in this NHL. So, fast forward into where we are now, those chances were used up. And considering how important it is for the Canadiens to contend this year with their window being open at least until Carey Price signs a new contract in the summer of 2018, which is going to make it that much harder for them to build at the other positions, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, and in fairness, I mean, part of the storyline today is that, it's Claude Julien. It's not somebody else, and Claude wasn't available last summer, et cetera, et cetera. What does he bring to the table that will help this team in the short term, do you think?
Yeah, I want to say that's the other key takeaway here. For anybody who thinks that Marc Bergevin simply hired Claude Julien because he speaks French, no. It's an important caveat. It's one that is a requirement to be the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens. But Bob Hartley's been on the market for months.
Sure.
Patrick Roy has been on the market for months. Guy Carboneau has been on the market for years. All three of those people would have a very keen understanding of what it means to coach in Montreal. But none of them have the pedigree of Claude Julien. In fact, the only other guy that has the pedigree of Claude Julien is Ken Hitchcock. And he was disqualified from this race because of the fact that he can't communicate in French. So
right,
you get the best possible guy available, a guy that other teams were starting to call on. It no longer becomes, maybe we'll be able to get him in the summer and then he slips out of your hands. Because the way things are going with Therrien and the pressure that was on him this year with all the moves that Marc Bergevin made to change this team, chances are, if they don't make it very far in the playoffs, Therrien would have been out this summer either way. And then if Julien is snapped up by another team or has enough time to really think about it and ends up somewhere else and decides he doesn't want to be in Montreal, Bergevin gets caught in a really bad situation, ends up having to hire a guy that he doesn't want to hire. So, that really brings the whole situation full circle as to why Claude Julien is the guy, why the move is made now, in addition to the context I just provided before and the fact that this is the year for Montreal to go and do something.
Sportsnet's Eric Engels, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. I know you're up against a deadline, so just two quick ones. One, between now and March 1st, who should we be watching? What type of players should we be watching for the Montreal Canadiens to be interested in?
Yeah, impact forwards. And if we're going to name names, we're going to look directly at the two guys in Colorado that are potentially available in Gabriel Landeskog and Matt Duchene. If Marc Bergevin, there are two options there, really. One is you bring Landeskog in and you're making Galchenyuk a better centerman and you're able to keep a guy like Philip Deno with Alexander Radulov and Max Pacioretty and have that dual-prong offensive threat. Or you're looking at Matt Duchene at the center line, and that probably means that you might be sacrificing Galchenyuk to do it. And I know a lot of fans can't wrap their head around that, but if this is a question, Elliot Friedman brought this up in his 30 thoughts. He was spitballing his own thoughts, not inside information that he had, but he made an excellent point on, and I wrote a column just yesterday on Sportsnet on possible trade deadline ideas, and I was asked for one bold suggestion. My suggestion was packaging Galchenyuk with a prospect, a defensive prospect or a goaltender for Duchesne plus back to Montreal. Sure. Because when it comes down to it, this is where Elliot came in. He made the point that Galchenyuk is an unrestricted free agent 2 years from now. He's up for a contract renewal right now. You have to ask yourself if the Canadiens truly believe he is the number one center they want him to be. I believe he has the potential to be a number one center. He's shown at a point production level that he is a number one center. He's not necessarily one of the best ones in the league, but he has that in him. But does he make the players around him better? Is he enough of a self-starter? And can he bring the same value making big-time money versus what Duchesne could bring over 2 years, the next 2 years at $6 million, and the potential flexibility that the Canadiens end up having on the cap moving forward, knowing that they have to sign Carey Price at the end of 2018, knowing that they have to sign Max Pacioretty at the end of 2019. So I know that's a lot to digest for anybody listening right now, but you have to look at what the reality is of the situation. Things have been tenuous with Galchenyuk in Montreal. Potentially with Therrien moved out of the situation, that becomes a different story. I certainly believe he'll be a guy that gets used a lot more by Claude Julien. But you know what? Like, if Montreal believes that they can get Matt Duchesne, they have to believe they're making their team better. So those are two things, Landeskog, Duchesne, Galchenyuk, three things you really got to keep your eye on over the next 3 weeks, because I think it's all coming to a head come March 1.
Well, you answered my second question, too, because I was going to ask you
about
what might be going
the other way. And if not, by the way, it's coming to a head this summer when Galchenyuk's up for a contract.
Right. Eric, look, you didn't have to do this, and I really appreciate you that you did. You're on holidays, and it kind of breaks while you're out there. Again, thank you so much, my friend. Again, I don't know what else to say. The fact you did that means a lot. So appreciate this, and hopefully we'll talk to you a little bit closer to trade deadline day.
I would have done it no matter what, and I love coming on with you, Rob. It's great talking, and always enjoy talking about my job and what I do, and hopefully if it adds some context and some color to the situation for everybody out there that's thinking about this, then I've done it well. That's it.
Now, you're the best, pal. If you can, find a way to enjoy Vegas.
I will.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks, Eric.
Take care.
Eric Engels from Sportsnet joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. When your cheat meal comes up, go to South Street Burger. 100% Angus beef without preservatives or fillers. And they have over 25 complimentary toppings.